Thank you, Jesus. The power of prayer. And I became a free man that day. The chains fall. The prison doors open. She had no idea what I was going to preach. I had no idea what she was going to sing. We serve the same God. Can I get an amen? I hope you get blessed this morning by the reading of God's Word this morning, because I sure been blessed by it. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 12, the book of Acts chapter number 12. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 5 this morning, the power of prayer. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm a product of prayer. Can I get an amen? Product of prayer. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody petitioned the throne room of heaven for me. Somebody just prayed when I didn't know how to pray. And somebody prayed when I couldn't pray. You ever been where you just couldn't pray? Amen. Acts 12, let's get on in. Amen. Verse number 5, I ask you to stand. You do more standing here than you do at home probably. We do a lot of standing. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank God you can stand. Thank God you feel good enough to stand. Brother Harold, I thank you for that. Amen. We're going to do an amen class right here. And Brother Harold's going to lead it. Hey, my amener. He's going to lead it. He's going to teach y'all how to say amen. Amen? All right. I'm back home now. I done been to some dry places. Don't you get dry. Don't you get dry and all withered up in here. There you go. Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 5. I told Brandy this morning, I said, God's gave me a message. Have your ears on. She gave me that look like, don't you forget we get out of here at 12 o'clock. We come in at 11 o'clock sharp, but I pray you don't leave at 12 o'clock dull. Amen. Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 5, the Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer, the power of prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true that which was done by the angel, but thought he had saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they come unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened unto them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, can I get an amen? Boy, when you come to yourself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel. Have you ever been somewhere you need a touch of God? Maybe you was on a ventilator. Maybe you was laying in a hospital bed. Maybe you was laying in a jail cell. Maybe you got a kid that's went wayward this morning. And you say, hey, I got to come to myself. If anything's going to be done, God's going to have to do it. Look what he said. And when he had considered, look what he said. And when he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. That she then said, they, it is an angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, I thank you that I'm not dead but alive in the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you it ain't on my own righteousness. It ain't on my own works, but it's on the finished work of the cross of Calvary, Father. And Lord, I pray this morning we come in prayer. praying. We've come in seeking for a move of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that if somebody needs to be delivered, if somebody needs to be set free, I pray they realize that this is the morning, Father, that You're in the house, that You're on the throne. Lord, I pray You guard my throat and guard my thoughts. I pray You, I pray that I decrease and that You increase this morning. Lord, I'm in over my head, and if anything good come from this sermon, it'll come from the throne room of heaven. Lord, I pray this morning You bless these folk. You watch over them, Father. Keep us out of harm's way. And Lord God, I pray that You give them ears to hear what the Spirit saith. We love You and we thank You. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come this morning, the power that is in prayer this morning, the power that is in prayer. Here we come, and oh Herod, he's done. Took two men, he done put them in jail. He took one that was there, if you would. His name was James, and he took the sword and he killed him. He took that sword and he killed him. And here's come old Peter, and oh Peter, it ain't going to be long, and he's going to be killed as well if God don't intervene. Oh Peter's here, and he's done been locked up and done put in jail until I read that letter. I was in jail. Can I get an amen? Hey, and as we get here, we see that Peter was bound up with chains and he got put into prison. Hey, but the people of God, the people that was in the church, they didn't give up. They kept praying. I say to you this morning, if you got something in your life and you say, preacher, I'm about ready to give up. Hey, don't you give up. You keep praying. Hey, you keep petitioning the throne room of heaven. You keep on keeping on. I say God works best when I'm at my wit's end, when I don't know what to do, where to turn or where to go. That's when God steps in. You say, preacher, I prayed till I'm blue in my face. Hey, don't you quit praying. You keep praying. You keep petitioning the throne room of God for somebody. This morning, I thank God that I had a praying mama, and I thank God that I had a praying sisters and a praying wife this morning that would pray heaven down on me. I thank God for that this morning. They didn't give up on me. They didn't get out on me, but they got to the throne room of God for me. Hey, we need some men of God and some women of God that'll get to the throne room of God. They don't care who's around or who hears them pray. They'll get on their knees and they'll pray to an almighty God in heaven. You say, preacher, what good is the power of prayer? I've seen people die, and I've seen we prayed for them and they died anyway. Friends, you listen to me. Don't you limit God and what He can do. If you'll send up the prayer, you'll be surprised what a God will do. Can I get an amen? He says this morning the three things that prayer will do. Will you look with me in verse number 7 this morning? Number 1, when you get to praying, it'll rescue a person. It'll rescue them from what's going on in their life. It'll rescue them from the chains that bind. Look with me in verse number 7. And behold, that says, I want you to stop. That word means stop, look, and listen. Pay attention to this. It's very important. If you need rescued in your life this morning, you get to praying. If you know somebody needs rescued, you get to praying. Hey, prayer will do what you can't do. Amen. Look what the Bible says. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Here it is. And his chains fell off from his hands. I say to you this morning, it'll rescue a person from the chains that bind. I don't know about you, but I've had chains on my hands before. I've been chained down by Satan's plans, and he thought he had me, but I got good news. Hey, somebody prayed for me, and that prayer got to heaven, and it got to right where God was, and them chains fell off. This morning I'd say to you, only thing a chain is good for is it'll hold a person. It'll hold a person right where they're at. You know what Satan will do? He'll take your past. He'll take what you've done in your past, and he'll try to hold you the rest of your life. My Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He said He set them free. He's forgive our sin as far as the east is from the west. I see that chains, it'll hold a person. Hey, but I see that chains, it'll hinder a person. Oh, Peter was preaching the Word of God. He was teaching converts how to be a Christian. And he got to this place and he found himself bound up. Maybe this morning, oh, Satan's got you bound up. You've been a deacon for a long time and he's done took your voice. He's done took your lips. Maybe you've been a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you've just been a mom and dad and you've been trying to expound on the Word of God and tell your children that there's a better way. And you say, preacher, I'm going to quit praying. Don't you quit praying, because it'll rescue that person that is in your life. It might even rescue you this morning. Amen. Oh, he says it'll hold a person. It'll hinder a person. Hey, but if you keep them chains on too long, it'll harm a person. It'll harm them in their life. I wrote this down. When you have been touched by the power of God, chains will fall off your life. When you've been touched by the power of God. But I wrote this down, and this really got me, Brother J.D., in verse number 7. It said that his chains fell all from his hand. There was two prison guards in there with him. And if you cut chains off, you know what they do? They make a racket. You can hear them when they fall. You say, preacher, I want to see them fall. I want to hear them fall. Does it matter if you see it? Does it matter if you hear it? As long as they fall. Amen. Hey, when they got here, them prison guards, they slept on through. Even though Peter was delivered, he was set free. He was rescued, and the chains had fell off, and nobody else knew it. Even Peter didn't know it. He thought he was in a trance. He thought he had just dreaming up what was going on. Hey, this morning they may be somebody, and you've been bound up and shackled in sin, and you don't think God has broke you free, but you done 2 months delivered. You're 2 months free. You're 2 months on the good end. And you say, is God doing anything in my life? Listen to me this morning. He'll rescue you this morning. Amen. Oh, he says he'll rescue a person. That's the power of prayer this morning. How it rescues a person from a devil's hell. It'll rescue them out. Oh, Peter's fixing to be killed. And God stepped in and rescued him. Man, rescued him this morning. I was dying, going to hell. You know what God did? He stepped in and he rescued me. He rescued me. There's not a daddy in this place worth his salt. You listen to me. If you was going down over here on 16 and that river bridge was out, the first one, there's not a daddy worth his salt would let their kid drive off into that river. There's not a daddy worth his salt would let that kid go down the wrong road. You know what he would do? He'd try to rescue that kid. He'd try to stop him from going that way. And that's what God's doing this morning. He is our Father which art in heaven, and he's trying to rescue us. He's trying to deliver us from our own selves. Amen. Oh, I see. Number one, it'll rescue a person. It'll rescue them out of what needs to be rescued. Oh, Peter, here, the power of prayer. The church got to praying, and Peter got rescued. You know what's wrong with the church today? They don't pray. Don't you say that, preacher. If you're born again, it's not Union Chapel, it's not the church. You are the church. I'm the church. Amen. We are the church. You say, don't you say that. I'm part of the church. I can say that. What's wrong with the church? We don't pray. When we don't see results, we quit praying. Can I say to you this morning, if you don't see results, keep praying. It ain't up to what you see, it's up to what he does. Number one, it'll rescue a person. But number two, let me give you this. When you've been rescued, you'll be released. Oh, boy, I just love this right here. Look in verse number 8. Not only will it rescue you, but it will not leave you where it found you. When them chains drop off your life and it rescues you, it will release you. It will not keep you where it found you. The grace of God will not leave you where it found you. If you got saved and there's not been a change in your life, you better make sure you got saved. You better make sure you got born again. You better make sure you got under the spout where the glory runs out. People don't like to hear that this morning. But listen to me. Whoever he rescues, he releases. Look with me in verse number 8 this morning, if you will. And the angel said unto him, I'm going to get you some Detroit term right here. And the angel said unto him, gird up thyself. But in verse 7 it said, arise. So when it releases a person from that place that holds, number one, I see the angel told him, arise. What does that mean, preacher? That means you're going to have to get up. If you're going to let God move in your life and he rescues you and he wants to release you from that bondage, you're going to have to get up. He said, arise or get up. He said, gird thyself. That means get ready. Gird thyself. Get on what you need and get ready. Look in verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Let me give you what that means. That means put your shoes on. We're getting out of here. Put your shoes on. We're getting out of here, boys. I'm not staying with the old crowd no more. I'm not staying with the depressed crowd, the doom and gloom bunch. We're getting up out of here. We ain't staying where we used to be. We're getting out of this prison that we call life. Look what he says here. He said, arise, gird thyself, put your shoes on, and look what he says, and follow me. When the Spirit of God comes to your life and it rescues you and it releases you from what binds you, you know what it'll do? It'll say, follow me. Why does it want you to follow it? Because the Spirit of God will never leave you where you don't need to be. It'll always lead you in the right path. It'll always lead you in the direct path. The Bible says, if you will with me, in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It'll release a person from the place that holds. It'll revive a person this morning. It'll get in their life like never before. Oh, Peter here, he was preaching the gospel and he found himself bound up. If you're doing the work of God, it won't be long. You'll find yourself bound up with the things of this world. If you're doing anything for God, listen to me, you need to keep a close eye on your spiritual walk. If you're a called preacher in this place, you better keep a close eye on your walk. If you're a preacher, I don't know who all been called to preach. If you're a deacon, if you're a lay speaker, Sunday school teacher, whatever you are, you better, song leader, you better keep a close eye on your spiritual walk and how you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, you'll find yourself in bondage trying to please people and instead of trying to please the Father. And you'll be bound up and you'll need to be rescued yourself and you'll need to be released out of that bondage as well. When old Peter got here, he done got locked up and somebody got to praying for him. And they got praying in a mighty way and they wanted him out. They wanted him released so he could get back to doing what God's called him to do. I wish this church would get back to doing what God's called it to do. I pray we'd get back to doing what God's called us to do. Having a desire for the lost, having a desire for the ones that are wayward, that are outliving any old way. Have a desire. You know what old Peter's desire was? That men might be saved. This morning I want you to know my heart's desire is that somebody might come to know Jesus. Somebody might see Jesus. Somebody might see that they need that prayer in their life. This morning the greatest need of the hour is prayer this morning. Amen. That we pray for the ones that's lost. Let me show you something else in the text that I've seen. Number one, I see this morning that there was a rescue. A person is the power of prayer. It'll rescue a person. Amen. If you ever been rescued, give God amen on that. Been rescued, set free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I see it'll release a person from what used to hold on to them. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God that I've been set free and I've been released. But right here's where the sermon really gets interesting. And it really moves on my heart here. Not only will it rescue a person, not only will it release a person, Brother J.D., set him free, but it will reunite a person with the brethren. When Peter got out of jail, when he got out, the Spirit let him out, said it let him out through the gate, and the gate opened up, and when he went out, you know what? He didn't go looking for the old crowd. He didn't go looking for his old buddies. He didn't go looking in the same old places. You know what he did? He went looking for the people of God, the men of God, the women of God. He went looking for the house of God. I got a problem with a person ain't sincere to the house of God this morning. You must have a heart's desire to be at the house of God. Friends, this morning I want you to know, oh, Satan makes us think it's not important to be in the house of God. You get encouraged in here. You find favor in here. You find what you need in here. But you find prayer at the house of God. Look what he says here. If you'll look with me in verse number 13, I'm talking about how it will reunite a person. Look what the Bible said. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate. You know what he did? He came there and he knocked. Man, he knocked at that gate. He wanted in. He wanted where God would have him to be. I wonder when was the last time you stood at the church door and you knocked on it. You said, it may be locked, but I want in. Hey, you may not want me, but I want in. Hey, I may not look like you, but I want in. I may not smell like you, but I want in. I may not believe like you, but I want in. We need people at the door knocking to get in and to see what God will do. Amen. Look what he says. He said he knocked at the door. Preacher, what does that mean? He knocked at the door because somebody been praying for him. He said, what kind of prayer did they pray? Let me give you this. God had heard the prayer of the saints. This here going to blow your mind. They was not correct prayers. Have you ever prayed and you said, man, I blowed that one. You know, it ain't up to you. Prayer is just an honest conversation with God. Be honest from your heart. Number one, they did not have a correct prayer. They did not have a pretty prayer. I've heard people all the time say, boy, that person out there can pray so pretty. It's not a correct prayer. It's not a pretty prayer. It's not a long prayer. That's what the hypocrites do. Long prayer. It's not the best prayer. But you know what them saints did? You know what we do here? It was an effectual, fervent prayer. If you want God to move on something in your family or your... Am I talking to anybody this morning? I pray the Spirit is. Man, that got on me. These people just prayed for Peter. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the most popular. They just prayed. They just got on their knees before God and they just prayed. He said, preacher, what does it take to move God? The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. What does that mean, the effectual? That means it's effective and it's fervent. That means it's on heat, it's on fire. God knows your heart. You're down on your knees and you're saying, God, if you don't touch my children, you know what's going to happen. If you don't save their soul, you know they're going to go to a devil's hell. God, I don't want them to go there. I beg you this morning, rescue them. Release them from the chains as God them bound. God, I know it's of Satan and it's not of you. Please set them free. That's the prayer this morning. And you don't care who hears it. It don't care who hears it. You're just begging God to do. God, help my marriage. If you don't, it's gone. Have you ever been there? Let me give you this. Turn with me to James 5:16. James chapter number 5 and verse 16. I want you to see this for yourself. It ain't a pretty prayer. It ain't a long prayer. It ain't a perfect prayer. It's just an effectual, fervent prayer. Let me tell you all this. I had an issue going on in my life, and he's not here right now. He'd kill me if I used him as illustration, but he ain't here. So if y'all don't tell it, maybe he won't listen to the radio. Amen? Man, I had something going on in my life, and I'm telling you, I was bound down, son. I needed rescue. I needed release, Brother J.D. And we got down to my little shop place at my house, and we got to praying, me and Brother Tony Woodham. I'm talking about, son, it was concrete there. Just concrete. All it is concrete. No pad, no pew, no, nothing comfortable. Just old concrete. And we got to praying, asking God to move on that situation that was going on in my life. And we started in. I don't know how long we had been there, but we got off into heaven. Amen. Hey, it wasn't one of them just get down and get up. We just got in where God would have us to be. The effectual, fervent prayer. I'm talking about praying that God would move. And we got to praying. And we'd been there a long time, I guess. And I didn't know. I didn't know nobody drove up. I didn't know nobody was there. That's when you're in where you need to be. When you don't know nobody's around, all you know is you're praying, you need rescued, you need released, because if not, you're not going to be reunited back where you need to be. Can I get a witness? Man, we got down, we got to praying. My daughter come home. She had that school where you get out half a day. And she had to work for somebody, and she was my secretary. Y'all know that's what she put on the paper. I couldn't find her half the time. Amen. Okay. But anyway, we got done praying and we stood up. When I stood up, she was standing behind us. I looked around. I said, baby, how long you been there? She said, well, daddy, I've been here a little while. I've been here a little while. I said, well, baby, why didn't you say something? Tell us you was here. She said, well, y'all was praying and it seemed pretty important, so I just joined in with you. Sometimes you don't know what people are praying for, but you know they're praying. Why not just join in with them? You don't got a clue what's going on, but what would it hurt just to join in with them? Join in with them and pray. Just ask God to move. Folks, I want you to know I thank God that my daughter walked in on that because she knows daddy just don't preach it here, but he lives at home. Amen? Look what he says here in James chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if one of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This morning we pray one for another because we want them to be reunited with the brethren. Let me show you this in closing in verse number 15. You say, what would the power of prayer do? Number one, it'll affirm it in your life. You'll know when it shows up. Look what he says. And they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they this, it is his angel. No, it was Peter. But Peter continued knocking. There's somebody here this morning, you've been trying to get through to heaven. Only thing I can tell you is your pastor, just keep on knocking. Just keep on knocking. If somebody comes to the house and I really don't want to answer the door, can I get a witness? Don't sit there and be all spiritual. Don't sit there and be all spiritual. Like, you jump up and greet them in. And they knock on the door. I said, they ain't going to think I'm here. Brother Kevin, can I get a witness? Working at your shop and somebody's calling, you ain't got time, you just forward it. And then they call back again, you forward it. But they call back five times, eventually you're going to do what? Eventually you're going to do what? You're going to answer it eventually. You get to heaven, you listen to me, you're in the throne room and you just, and then walk out and never mention it. But when you sit there and you just, you don't give up. God might get tired of hearing you, but you don't give up. You know what He's going to do? He's going to answer that one that keeps knocking. When my daughter wants something and she asks us one time, I blow it off. Can I get an amen? Especially when it's $100. But when she keeps on and 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 on, somebody here this morning needs to keep knocking on and on and on and on. You've got members going to hell that needs Jesus, and you quit knocking. You need to keep knocking on heaven's door. Keep knocking this morning. God will answer, amen. But you quit knocking, and I quit knocking. And we wonder why God's quit answering. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. We've quit knocking, and He's quit answering. Verse 15, they affirm the power of the prayer. In verse 16, when God shows up, you'll be astonished. Blown away. Brother Lee, blown away in what God's done in your life. Blown slap away. Brother James Lowe, blown away. Just blown away what God's done. Look what he says here. But Peter continued knocking. Who am I talking to this morning that you quit knocking? It's time to start knocking. Your prayer life has slacked off. God is good. God is great. Let us thank you for our food. Bow your heads. Let us pray. Amen. Come on, man. Come on. These people going to hell. We need more than that. We need men of God. We need men of God and women of God in the altar of God begging God to save our families. We got people in our home needs rescued. And the only way they're going to be rescued is by the power of prayer that we're pleading on the blood of Jesus. We got people in our family needs to be released. They're under addiction. They're bound up in chains. Ain't nothing worse than a church member being in the county jail. Mary and Lamar, wherever. It's nothing worse. Nothing worse. Listen to me this morning. I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you this morning. You got to be praying. I got to be praying. We got people that needs rescue, that needs to be released from the addiction and the sin that's on their life, that they may reunite with the local body and we'd be stronger than ever. He said, preacher, I've done all I can do. No, we ain't. We got to keep knocking on heaven's door, asking God to move. He said, did it do any good in the Bible? I'm going to give you a few illustrations. We're going to have time for invitation. And we'll show you where it did good. People that messed up. People that quit, but God answered anyway when they got to knocking. Let me share this with you. God heard David in the hour of disgrace, committed murder and adultery, but God heard him anyway when he got begging for forgiveness, pleading. God heard Elijah in the hour of depression, defeated 450 prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18 and 19. He wanted to kill himself. He wanted to take his own life. He said, it ain't worth it. He done gave up, Brother J.D., a man that called fire from heaven done gave up. He said, God, you're not who I thought you was. I'm the only one that loves you. He said, son, don't you think that. I got 7,000, ain't bowed a knee to Baal. God heard David in the hour of disgrace. God heard Elijah in the hour of depression. God heard Jonah in the hour of disappointment and disobedience. Jonah got disobedient, but then he got to pray and he didn't quit knocking until he got out of that fish. Amen. Maybe you're in a fish this morning. You've been swallowed up. You need to be set free. Maybe you're in the hour of disgrace. Man, you just preach. You don't know what I've done. Man, I feel like a disgrace in the community I live in. Man, I can't hold my head up. You won't hold it up till you get to praying. Preacher, I'm depressed. You just don't know. You'll stay depressed till you get to praying. Preacher, I've been disobedient. You'll continue to be disobedient till you get to praying. But God heard Jesus in the hour of death, and he met his need. And can I say to you this morning that God will hear you today? God will hear you today. If you'll get to the place that you say, man, I need to be rescued. I need to be released. I need to be reunited back where I need to be. There's nothing worse than being somewhere and not being there. Have you ever been there? You've been somewhere, but you're not there. Last night, I was sitting on the couch. Man, I was gone with David and Dylan. Boy, I laughed. I've hurt my side laughing at them too so much, talking about Dolores. Boy, that's a good topic. I laughed, hurt my side. And when I come in last night, I was tired. I got in the recliner and kicked that thing back. Brandy's in there talking in the kitchen. And she said, did you hear me? Did you hear me? And I said, yeah, I heard you. And her favorite line is, what I say? What did you want me to hear? Out of all that you talk, what part did you want me to really understand? And then little midget me over here, Kaylee, she said, Mama, he didn't hear you. He wasn't paying a bit of attention. He was watching that football game. And as I sat there, I thought, in the morning, I wonder who's going to sit there. That's going to be in the building. They're going to have physical ears, but their spiritual ears are completely cut off. There's no prayer in their life. There's no power. And they wonder why hell's broke loose in their life, because they don't know how to pray heaven down. They quit knocking. They quit seeking. He said, if you'll knock and you'll seek, you shall find me with your whole heart. And as I sat there in that leather recliner, the Lord told me, he said, no different what you did to your wife. And if you're not careful, you'll get cold-hearted to do the same thing sitting on the pew. You'll hear the word, but you will not heed it. And there'll be people in your life that needs to be rescued this morning, and you'll be surprised what a prayer can do. It can move mountains. You'll be surprised what a prayer can do. It'll rescue when you need rescued. It'll release you, Brother Garrett, when you need to be released from things in your life. It'll reunite you right back to where you need to be. So, preacher, how do I get back where I need to be? Prayer. Honest conversation with God. God ain't been what I need to be. If you'll just answer my prayer, he'll put you right back. Does he make you go to the back of the line and start over? Why, of course not. Ain't no daddy going to send their kid to the back of the line and start over. You get in that prayer altar and you pray, you know what he's going to do? He's going to act like you ain't never been gone. When I come home yesterday, been gone several hours, walked in, little man looked up at me, he was grinning. Right in my arms he come. Like I'd never been gone. How long has it been since you prayed for somebody? How long has it been since you prayed for yourself? You say, well, so-and-so's praying for me. Don't you rely on so-and-so. Don't you put your life in their hands to pray for you. That may be why you're in the mess you're in now. Well, I'm on every prayer request at every church in the county. That don't mean nothing. You got your name on every one of them. You make sure you got a direct line to the Father this morning. And it ain't got nothing stopping it up. If you need rescued, come to this altar. Ladies, come on. If you need, ask you to stand. If you need rescued, come to this altar. Amazing grace. Sister, can we do amazing grace? If you need rescued, come to this altar. Say, preacher, I'm saved. Hey, saved people needs rescued. Saved people needs rescued. Family members need rescued. Preacher, I need release, but saved people need to be released. You might need to be reunited back. You might need to be back to where God would have you to be. This would be the greatest morning of your life to get to the place that God rescued me from me, release me from me, and reunite me back to where you'd have me to be. As we sang this morning, the altar's open. Maybe it's you. Maybe you quit knocking at heaven's door. Maybe you quit knocking at what God can do. You'd be surprised what God will do.